me start by asking you, has anyone of you got one of those smart watches that should remind you to get up and walk when you have been sitting for too long? Has anyone got? You got that one. Thank you. Okay. Some may have an app on their mobile phone that will remind them, it's time to take your medication. It's time to take your meditation. Yes. On the spiritual level, for me, I like the hymn that we have just sung, A Charge to Keep a Heart. Whenever I refer to that hymn, it reminds me of three key things. The first one is that God is calling me to serve the present age by doing my master's will. I cannot dwell in the past. The challenge is today, let's face it today, to serve the present age. The second point is, while I'm doing my master's will, I need to get prepared to give him a strict account, for I should not carry out my ministry in my way, but his way. The third point from that hymn is, above all, in order to get the strength and the vision to be a good steward in God's vineyard, I need to wash and pray. So this is to introduce the theme of the reflection I'm going to share with you today: biblical stewardship and accountability. Biblical stewardship and accountability. And I want to say congratulations to those who have just been appointed as steward, those who are in the world of doing a stewardship. But this is bigger than just that. So, the first point to consider when talking about biblical stewardship and accountability is self-appraisal. Self-appraisal. Here we need to understand the spiritual terms and condition of a task we are called to. What are the challenging issues that we as individuals or churches we face in this present age, as Charles Wesley wrote it? Therefore, at a collective level, the key question to ponder may be, are we willing to become purpose-driven or just remain program-driven? It's very, very important. Purpose. What is the purpose? Why are we doing? What am I? Why am I doing? Am I willing to become purpose-driven or just program-driven? For in a program-driven scenario, energy is wasted on tribal issues while there's no tangible result. And here, I've said it before, we need to tackle the issue of efficiency and effectiveness. Because efficiency is doing things right, but effectiveness is doing the right things. For it's not enough for churches to be well organized, they must be well organized to do the right things. Let's think about that. And this is where our message, the passage from the message we get from the passage from Romans 12 comes in, the one that we have read together. And Paul said in his great gospel are giving us different things, different gifts for doing certain things well. So it is striking to see how throughout this passage, St. Paul points out that when God in his grace has given us different gifts, he expects us to use those talents well, to do those things well, and to grow well with them. Therefore, from God's perspective, from the biblical perspective, there's an expectation from God placed upon us as his beloved children, whom he has so wonderfully and fearfully created in his own image, to deliver job well done. It's not by for formality that God gives us the talents. So by going through this passage line by line, we see that God does not give a position of responsibility just for formality. He expects from us to do well, whether we serve in the church or in our workplace or in our local community. It is really empowering to know that whether we are now retired or still in active service, God is interested in our professional career as teachers, as nurses, as midwives, as medical doctors, as lawyers, care workers, psychologists, IT engineer, project manager, accountant. This survey, I did that survey checking about what type of talent we got across our churches. These are some. So our churches, really not just here, are full of those talents. And God really gave us those talents so that we may use them for his glory, to serve the present age. That's what it means to be witnesses of Jesus Christ in this present age. Three months ago, during our AGM at Edmonton, we appointed new pastoral leaders, new church, and communal steward. I'm sure you did the same thing here. And that was done according to people's individual talent and skills. And to me, as I always tell people, whether you are chair, you are steward, whatever you do, it's a ministry. It's a ministry. And I hope that we St. Paul said, if God has given us any position of responsibility, take that position seriously. That's what John Wesley called the ministry of God's people, by God's people, for God's people. As such, when we understand that, there should not be any competition among us. We are called to work together and to serve God's people in Christ and for Christ together. I use my talent, you use your talent. For example, I should not be preoccupied about giving account to God for a musical talent that he has not given me. That's your talent. I should not. But instead, together, as stewards, we should enable each one of us to perform their duty perfectly for God's glory. I should not be a hindrance. I should not be blocking you. No. Instead, I should be there to support you, to encourage you, to perform well for God's glory. There should not be competition. If it's one talent that God has given me, I should focus on doing, using that talent well. God has given you two or three fantastic, focus on that. So, that's the first point, self-assessment. The second point is being prepared to be accountable for a work well done. So in order to have a sense of responsibility, we need to move from a state of mental and spiritual inactivity to proactivity. God has appointed you because he knows that you can do. So we need to be proactive, creative. We cannot keep blaming circumstances or others for our poor performance. No, I did not know because of him, because of them, because. No. From God's perspective, no. I have given you that talent because I trust in you, because I know you have a potential. You need to be creative. And as quality also, oh, we are not performing because of them over there. No. Being accountable is being able to bring ourselves to God and say, God, this is who I am, for I know the talent you have given me. Empower me to be your servant. Because he is the one who called. Empower me to be your servant in the best possible way. We need to have a wisdom and the humility to constantly be willing to be dependent upon God and to interact with one another. True. That's mean wisdom, humility. St. Paul said in one of his writing, when I was a child, I behaved like a child. But when I became an adult, I chose to behave like an adult. That's maturity. Grow into it. Imagine, probably there are some teachers, imagine a student was in year 9 last year. And this year, the same student remained in year 9. What does that mean? No progress, am I right? That's God wants us a little bit more. I have given you that talent so that you can do it well. Elsewhere, in Romans 14, verse 12, St. Paul wrote, so then, each one of us will be accountable to God. Each one of us, I will be accountable to God, you will be accountable. And that's where Jesus said, why are you trying to take the speck from the eyes of your neighbor while you yourself you have got low? Remove first the load from your own eye, then you see clearly so that you can take the speck out of the eyes of your neighbor. Challenge me. It's challenging. In various passages of the Bible, the concept of stewardship is strengthened when people demonstrate their team player spirit, their sense of mutuality, their togetherness, and their interdependence. Steward when we do it together, when we engage together, seeking God's will. That's when. The third point, being kingdom focused, being God's kingdom focused. The key point here is that we need to constantly remind ourselves that whatever God has called us to do is not to please any individual or partisan group. We are called to contribute to the building of God's kingdom wherever he has placed us. I'm not here to please, but we are called for his own kingdom's sake. And as someone quite rightly put it, life without Christ is full of crisis. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. I like it. Life without Christ is full. Could you please let me to finish? Is full of crisis. And this is where our first Bible reading comes in, from Romans 16:1-16. At first sight, this passage looked like a simple reference letter about a long list of people whose names are not easy to pronounce, and you did very well. However, when we read between the lines, there are few details that emerge. The majority of all those people named in this passage were women and men from a diverse social background. Some were Jewish and non-Jewish, Asians and European. Some of them were wealthy, some were ordinary housewives from a modest social background. The diversity of list of people confirmed that the gospel should transcend all barriers of gender, nationality, social status, or location. This passage shows a mutual trust that existed between believers in that particular church in Rome and a shared ministry they were called to. St. Paul highly recommended those people for their intentional, I underline intentional, commitment to working together in order to achieve their outstanding missionary work. And in verse 5, for example, we read that some of them dedicated their own houses as places of worship. One of them, Epaphroditus, was even distinguished as the first Christian convert in the province of Asia. Wow! The whole Asia, he was the first Christian convert because he did well in his calling. But what was really striking was that their true identity was defined by their personal relationship with Christ, not by their social status. St. Paul called them either co-workers in Christ, friends in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, or faithful servants of Christ. That certainly makes a big difference. And the passage is a clear demonstration of what it means for us to be a community of faith, where all of us work together as team players in Christ and for Christ, not for a personal growth. The more we study that passage, the more we discover that the main common denominator of the list of these people is their diligent service and hospitality. So much so that St. Paul referred to one of them as my mother through Christ. That was St. Paul. My mother through Christ. And throughout my ministry, I had the privilege of knowing a number of church members whom I can still refer to as my true brothers in Christ, my true sisters in Christ, my mothers in Christ. I am who I am today because of those people, the positive impact they have in me. It really makes our life together uplifting when we work together for God's glory. Talking about hospitality, let's point out that the word, we know the word hospital, comes from hospitality. And as we all know, the hospitality that hospital provide is far more than just being nice to people. A hospitality that makes a difference should include intentional compassion, acceptance, and genuine care for people's body, their mind, and their soul, those who come to us in search of friendship. Likewise, as we have seen in our passage in Romans 16, when we, as the body of Christ, when we take seriously our ministry to God's people from a holistic perspective, it makes a big difference. So, in conclusion, when we truly understand the principle of biblical stewardship and accountability, it has many implications on the quality of our fellowship with one another. It creates an atmosphere of mutuality, not competition. It stimulates creativity and proactivity, not paralysis. And I challenge congregation at Edmonton recently. I said, let's think about it. If we decide to double the attendance of this church by next week, we can do it if we really want to. What it takes is it just need each one of us to invite one extra friend. If I can invite one extra friend to join me next week, this congregation will double. We'll not do it because we prefer, no, it's because of them, it's them. Think about it. I go around and really I saw churches in North London here buzzing. You hear, oh no, I've been invited by my friend. Oh no, I'm here because my colleague invited me. I said, wow, this is it. We need to be intentional. I'm going to quote as finish from the book, an excerpt from the book, The Broken Body, which I bought nearly 30 years ago. The excerpt goes like this. Through a caring and committed presence toward broken people who come to churches in search of wholeness, people will discover that they are allowed to be themselves, that they are loved, and so are lovable, that they too have gifts and their lives have meaning, that they can grow and do amazing things and in turn become peacemakers in a world of conflict. Indeed, it's a big task, but it can only be possible when we intentionally commit ourselves to working together in Christ for Christ's sake. And there's a lot of abundant blessing. That's when you may hear, come, ye faithful servant, come and take your crown of glory. Come for a job well done. May God help us, empower us for his glory. Amen.